Dad TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is my partner here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Behnke. Directing our live blog is the esteemed Brian Caravu. And we are joined, as always, by Jamie Drawers and John Rayhor of our fan blog here at Cheesehead TV, Eat More Cheese, along with the best and brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. So, Corey, tell us what's on tap tonight.
Joining us later tonight will be the man, the myth, the legend.
Legend.
Packer beat writer, a man I have spent some significant time with. From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Tom Silverstein. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Marshall Newhouse.
Coming off the bench looking fantastic.
Ryan Grant.
Ryan, I take it all back, buddy.
Jamichael. Finally here, Finley.
Around these parts, we call him Jermichael, three touchdowns, Finley.
And we got the bad. We got Charlie Peppra.
Charlie, buddy.
Ouch. Offensive lines, pre-snap penalties.
I mean, we got everybody in this mix. We got Clifton. We got Lang. We got Sitton. We got Newhouse. I even think Scott Wells did something.
And we got the ugly. We got James Starks.
Neo, the one. The savior, having what can only be described as his worst game as a professional. Corey Behnke, how are you tonight?
I think I'm going to include in the ugly, Corey Behnke, just putting the whirlwind transition somehow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wish we would, well, we really need to start doing.
It's still there. It's going to take me a while to get rid of that.
What I love is that I really wish people had a bird's eye view of the studio, like an hour before the show, and then we just did like one of those fast videos that sped up, watching you freak out as we do everything. It's great,
right?
Although that's very pretty. I'm watching what you're doing there, and that's nice. You don't know.
I don't like it that much.
You don't know how to shut it off, do you?
No, I have no idea.
I love it. So how about those Packers? The Bears still suck.
Yes, Jason Wilde.
That's right. They still suck.
They do.
Packers taking care of business. One of only three remaining teams in the NFL to go to 3-0. The other two, of course, being the Buffalo Bills and the Detroit Lions. A lot of Packer fans are down the Lions this summer. I was not one of them. Detroit Lions are for real. I don't care who they've been, who they've played. I'm here to tell you. Detroit Lions are for real. They will have fun finishing place in the NFC North.
The Detroit Lions. Okay.
Here we go.
The Detroit Lions are what New Orleans Saints fans bring up. They're what people who don't like the Green Bay Packers, that's all they have to say about the NFC North.
What? Is that Detroit looks good?
They've been watching too many Eminem Ford Chrysler commercials.
So they got Detroit fever. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, they do. They want to feel it. And you know what? I'm the same.
You want Detroit to do well. Exactly. You want Detroit to do well.
I don't totally want the Lions agree. To do well,
no,
however.
Absolutely not. But no, I totally feel that. But getting back to our beloved Green Bay Packers. Oh, I'm sorry. Our beloved world champion and now 3-0 Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I took a little umbrage with your...
You took umbrage?
To your title this week.
With me? Why? Because it's imperfect perfection? Well, that's what they are.
Oh,
in fact, our guest later on tonight, Mr. Tom Silverstein, wrote a pretty good article for the Journal Sentinel about that exact subject, about how, yes, this team is 3-0.
Yes, yes,
warts
yes,
and all.
Yes, despite Packer transplants.
very much despite Packer transplants.
Oh.
Well, okay, so let's get to the issues at hand, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Bulaga, Ryan Graham, both Ouch. Injured in the game against the Bears. Bulaga obviously hurt on a roll-up. But it looked like a Bears defensive lineman lunging at him. I know he was going for Rodgers, but it really looked extraneous and after the fact and a little dirty. But I'm willing to let it go and let it slide this time.
Okay.
Defensive lineman for the Bears, you are on notice. But and along with Ryan Grant, who
aren't the defensive line for the Bears always on notice?
Yeah, apparently. But I mean, along with Ryan Grant, who obviously has an injured kidney, who told apparently reporters in the locker room today, or just Ty Dunn, who chose to tweet this information out, Ryan Grant has no blood in his urine, ladies and gentlemen. No job, blood man. In the urine.
We're happy about that.
I'm A, happy that I know this, and B, that Ryan Grant and Brian Bulaga both expect, want/whatever to play on Sunday. Now, the medical staff for the Green Bay Packers have another ideas. Not quite down with that prognosis. But Mike McCarthy said today that he is going to give them until Friday, and then they'll have they'll be looked over again by the medical staff, and then we'll see. But both Brian Bulaga and Ryan Graham both saying they want to play on Sunday. They feel fine. Blah 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 blah. I will say I heard today from an ex-Packer, that he heard that Bulaga is fine.
Sources within the administration.
But an ex-Packer today said Bulaga is fine. That's what he heard through the grapevine. Obviously, that's not from Bulaga himself. But take that for what it's worth. Mike said they got to convince the medical staff Friday. Boom. So we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. That said, I have no issues starting Marshall Newhouse, who looked fantastic. And I have no issues with James Starks as long
as Marshall Newhouse
as we see the first week one, week two version.
Wait, excuse me.
Uh-oh.
What did Leroy Butler say about Marshall Newhouse?
Did you make some notes? Oh,
no.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I know
it's an exciting show.
No notes.
You know.
No.
Things are going down.
I watched Leroy Butler in action, X's and O's, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Check it out. We all have 24/7 lifestyles, something you must check out. Leroy Butler, Tom Silverstein, in front of a TriCaster. That's all I have to say.
Nice. Nice.
Dropping the knowledge bombs.
What's just funny, because pretty soon that'll be us. Only not dropping knowledge bombs.
We're actually, this show runs on a TriCaster, but we run on the TriCaster Pro, and they run on the TriCaster HD.
Not alert!
Oh man. I'm sorry, I can't help it.
No, wait. Oh, we'll get to this later in the show because I don't want to bore people. We'll bore people at the end of the show. But
yeah, that's true.
Moving on. Cliff Kristol, not yet a friend of the show. Hopefully one day. Long time Packer beat writer for both the Green Bay Press Gazette and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Now back with the Green Bay Press Gazette. Had a column today about relying on aging veterans and how it's risky, could be dangerous. Now, his piece was fine. I had no problems with it, save for one.
Who is he referring to?
Well,
I wonder.
He's talking about Charles Woodson.
Really?
Chad Clifton and a little bit Donald Driver.
Well, number one and number three, like, go get a real job. Number two.
Oh, dear.
Number two, I'm with him.
But here's the thing. In his piece, and that's my, like, no, Chad Clifton could fall off the cliff at any time. You know, you never know. Aaron Rodgers said as much. Aaron Rodgers even said in his little daily or weekly show with Wildy yesterday, is this the year or is this the week that Chad Clifton's body gives out? I mean, he said that.
That's, wow.
It's nice to know your starting quarterback is thinking the exact same thing that we're all thinking.
I mean, at the end of the day, though, anybody's
body could give out at any time.
It's football. It ain't Rugby World Cup.
Thank you, Yogi Berra.
It's football.
It is football. But I have a hard time thinking Aaron Rodgers' body's about to give out as opposed to Chad Clifton's.
Let's hope not.
Chad Clifton, Charles Woodson, Donald Driver. Now, here's the thing. I don't have a problem with Cliff Crystal's premise. What I have a problem with, and I tweeted about this today, because that's what I do, is his pointing to the difference between the 1996 Packers and the 1997 Packers, and about how the Packers relied too much on aging veterans in 97, and that's what caused them to lose the Super Bowl? I mean, I wasn't really sure what his point was there, though, but, I mean, they got to the Super Bowl. I mean, do you realize, like, how difficult it is to get to the Super Bowl once, let alone 2 years in a row? And they did that. Yeah, they lost it, but they didn't lose it because of their aging veterans. They lost it because, you know, what's his butt tapped out, and they had no, you know, they had no help on the huge drop-off at defensive end across from Reggie White. You know, Reggie White was a, quote, aging veteran, but
yeah,
he was still Reggie freaking White.
Yeah.
He was still playing well.
He didn't have 3 sacks, though.
No, which he probably should have. But I'm just saying, like, you know, it wasn't because of their aging veterans.
Yeah.
You know? So, anyway.
I mean, here's the thing, okay? This is team ball right here. This is the Green Bay Packers 3.0 team ball. Balling it. The weapons on this team are ridiculously donkulous. Okay?
Ridiculously donkulous. Please, someone trademark that right now.
Seriously. Somebody tell me I'm wrong. Tom Crabtree, James Starks, James Jones, Greg Jennings, Donald Driver. I'm not done.
No.
Jordy Nelson.
I'm not stopping you because I know you're not done.
Michael Finley.
Come on now.
Ryan Grant. Come on. John Coon. I mean.
You can kill. They can hurt you.
What?
In any number of ways.
What?
Any number of ways. Come on. Come on. How are you liking me now? Now we just need the defense to tighten up a little bit. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But this team, as we've often said, we said in the intro, this team isn't perfect. We'll talk with Tom Silverstein about it in the next segment. This team isn't perfect, and you know what? They don't need to be.
No.
They don't need to be. Nope. What I found interesting was Rodgers' comment after the game saying that, you know, he said there was a weird feeling in the locker room. Like they should have won by more. They should have been, you know, it shouldn't have been so close. Whatever. It kind of reminded me of stuff that was being said after the Packers beat the Lions at Lambeau last year.
Mm-hmm.
When they won, but it was like they didn't win convincingly. Mm-hmm. They didn't win. It's the NFL, baby.
I don't care.
Every team has issues.
Every
team has problems.
Yep.
Every team is imperfect. And you know what? Of all those teams, the Packers are the closest to perfection. They are the closest to perfection out of all 32 teams. And it's not even close. I mean, you saw the Patriots, who most people have put 1-2 in all the power rankings out there. You saw the Patriots just get exposed.
Speaking of the Patriots.
Exposed. No, wait. Let me finish this point, then you go there. Okay, let me ask you this. Do you think, seriously, now think about this, people, Packers fans, and the one or two of you who are not Packers fans, who are total masochists,
half.
Who join us every week.
One and a half or half.
Let me ask you this. Do you think this Green Bay Packers team would give up a 21-0 lead against anyone, let alone a division rival? Think about that. Think about that for a second. Do you think for a second that this Packers team would do that? Ever? 21-0, you're up, and you lose? Get out of here with that.
The answer is no. Yeah. Okay, but where I was going, coming back to Leroy Butler, master, Leroy Butler.
Yes.
Football master, that is. And Tom Silverstein.
Yes.
Beat writer master, okay?
Who will be on the show joining us later today.
Will be on the show. And they're speaking, and Tom is a little bit taken aback when it's in the X's and O's segment from this week, and it's about the pass to JerMichael Finley in the end zone. And Leroy Butler says...
I'm sorry, which one? There were three.
Oh, I'm sorry. Leroy Butler says that Aaron Rodgers is the only quarterback in the NFL. Tom Brady could not have made that throw.
Holla. Check out the video, people. I'm telling you. I mean, I know people are like, oh, it's just two dudes sitting around talking football. Yes.
That's what this show is.
It's two... No. We're not even close to that. We
that show is
that.
Like... That
this
show
is two
like,
dudes.
This is why, this is how it's done.
It's the smartest stuff you'll ever see on the internet about football. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
Go check out the videos. They're awesome. We post them here at Cheesehead TV.
Yeah.
Thank you, JS Online, for allowing us to do that. They're fantastic. You have
they're
to check
awesome.
Them out.
They're awesome.
I just love Butler's quote from last year saying that Aaron Rodgers is the best play-action quarterback in the NFL without a running game. Now, this year, he's actually kind of got a running game.
He really does. And quickly, how about the naysayers? I think I was one of them. I think I kind of joined the...
I know I was.
Ryan Grant...
I put a whole post up about
bandwagon, and the dude, Ryan Grant, you had an awesome game. I got to give you props.
Got it. Mad props. Now, a lot of people giving me a little grief about my post saying that Ryan Grant should be backing up James Starks. It's not even a question. And I still think that. I still think James Starks is a superior back. I think he's a lot more talented, a better pure runner, a better pass catcher, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I will say this. Ryan Grant proved that he ain't done by a long stretch on Sunday. And I apologize, Ryan. I the first 2 weeks, I thought, nah. He's done. He's come back from injury, and it's over. But he displayed, and it wasn't just the running. It was the vision.
Yeah.
It was his ability to see what was there.
He made some plays, dude.
And just
it wasn't just blocking.
His cuts were so decisive, and so he just hit the hole. It was a classic textbook zone running, where you're taught to run to the target, your spot, read the blocking, and then plant your foot and go. And that's what Starks wasn't doing.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that a little later. But
we'll do it.
Mad props to Ryan Grant for a monster game. Now, I'm very interested to see.
Are we playing a video now of Grant?
Sure, yeah. Go ahead. Let's take a look at Ryan Grant. This is one of Ryan's many, many excellent runs on Sunday. You know, look. See, this is what I'm talking about. It's one cut and go. Obviously, we'll play it again. He gets to the line. He sees the opening to his left. He plants his foot, and he's gone. He's gone. Boom. Gone. Now, contrast that with the James Starks video we have, which I posted this today.
Wait, I want to see he's gone one more time.
He's there. He's gone.
Oh.
He makes the determination. He sees it, and he's gone.
All right, here's Starks.
Now, here's Starks. Now notice how there's a hole wide open right in front of him, and he comes back to the backside for no reason other than I'm supposed to go backside. See what's in front of you, plant your foot, and go. And this happened over and over and over on Sunday. I went back last night and watched every carry that Starks had, and almost, not everyone, but almost every single one, there's a moment where he gets the ball, he takes a step, and then he stutter steps, and for whatever reason, he tries to cut it back, tries to go play side, whatever, but it's the stutter step slash, you know, hesitancy that kills him every single time. So it'll be very interesting to see what running backs coach Jerry Fontenot gets into his head this week about hit your mark, plant your foot, and go. Don't dance around. Not every play is going to be a home run. I think there was an element of that. A lot of people suggested that, you know, he's trying to break every single run, yada, yada, yada. But I think we'll see a different runner. We'll see a different James Starks on Sunday against the Broncos. But we'll see.
We'll see?
I have to show this.
What are you doing, dude?
What's happening?
Don't put that in my camera. Put it in your camera.
Is it
not in the live vlog?
It is.
Everyone can see it.
It's disturbing. It's a Bears fan.
It's a Bears fan. It's a very disturbing looking Bears fan. Hey, what's up? Tremont Williams is watching film.
There you go.
Everybody tweet at Tremont Williams and tell him Packer Transplants, She Said TV says hello.
There you go.
This is what we do every week. We bug Packer players.
Yeah, why not?
On
I know you're watching film.
I know you're watching film, but She Said TV
we really
says
like
hello.
You.
Okay, speaking of really like you, here's some guys I really like. Sterling Sharp, Ron Wolf, and Leroy Butler, along with Kevin Green, all released the word was put out today that they are all in the finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Pro Football Hall of Fame. Pro, the pinnacle of the honor that you can receive as an, you know, a member of the NFL.
Is that like
coach
the
or player.
Is that like the Pro Football Blog of Fame?
Not quite.
Oh, okay.
Now, a couple of people tweeted at me today about Sterling Sharp, about whether I thought he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And I got to say, I love me some Sterling Sharp. He was a dominant player when he played. But I don't think he belongs in the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry, but I don't. I think had he stayed healthy.
I guess he's never coming on the show.
Well, he wasn't going to come on anyway, as you know. But had he stayed healthy, I think it's a no-brainer. But given that his career was cut short, I just don't think you can. He was amazing. He was amazing.
Dude, Tremont just tweeted, "What's going on, fellas? Tell my road dog, Corey Banky, I said, what's happening?" Ha. Oh! Tremont!
Tweeting at Corey during the show.
Come on. That's ridonkulous.
That is ridonkulous.
That's not ridiculously donkulous. That's
just
ridonkulous.
But Ron Wolf and Leroy Butler, come on now.
Oh, yeah.
They should be in the Hall of Fame. And I don't even think it's close. Like, I know people, it's fascinating to me. Like, Packer fans make cases for Leroy Butler not to be in the Hall of Fame. To which I say,
that's weird.
Are you high?
Yeah, seriously.
You're crazy.
Dude, he should get in for the Lambo leap
alone.
Alone.
But
alone.
Okay,
just
but,
the play
okay, but that's
of the
a,
Lambo
okay,
leap.
But forget,
I'm sorry.
Forget the fanage. Forget everything. Look
in the
at
Super
his
Bowl.
Like,
come on.
Hall of Fame voters are like so obsessed with numbers, blah, 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 blah. Fine. Let's look at the numbers. Let's look at the first player, and if I remember right, the only player, maybe? I think maybe there was one after him, but I'm not sure. But the first player ever to have double-digit sacks and double-digit interceptions.
Wow.
Ever. The man's a legend. The man made Fritz Schirmer's defense go. The man is just amazing.
And
he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, right? And he won a Super Bowl.
He won a Super Bowl. He was the heart and soul of the defense.
There's that.
He's a champion.
Yeah. He was the leader of the defense. That was the best defense in 96.
The number one defense in 96.
And 1997. Ridonkulous.
Amazing. Amazing player. And safeties get discounted. And, you know, he needs a strong advocate. And I really hope Cliff Kristol gets behind him the way he has not gotten behind Larry Kramer.
Wow.
We're going to let that lie.
You mean Jerry Kramer?
Jerry Kramer, sorry. Larry Kramer.
Larry Kramer.
I mean my New York state of mind there.
Larry Kramer is the guy on HBO.
Love it. Jerry Kramer hasn't gotten behind Jerry Kramer whatsoever.
No.
I hope he gets behind Leroy Butler. Although, doesn't look good. I mean, Leroy Butler's been up before and hasn't even gotten through the finalist stage, so. I don't know.
I'm actually still in shock that I got retweeted by Tremont.
You just can't handle the fact that you got tweeted by Tremont. I love it.
I can't help myself.
I love it. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, we need to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Mr. Tom Silverstein from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's going to drop some knowledge bombs.
I haven't talked to him since the Super Bowl.
I'm sorry, since when?
Oh, wait.
Since
the Super Bowl.
Wait, were you?
XLV.
Wait, why were you at the Super Bowl?
I was covering the Super Bowl for Cheesehead TV.
Yeah, but who? So we were just there because, you know, it was the Super Bowl and the NFL gave us credentials. Because a couple of teams were playing. Nobody important. Like, nobody we cared about, right?
No, nobody.
Oh, wait, that's right. The Packers.
Yeah.
Were in the Super Bowl and they won that game.
They did.
And they're reigning Super Bowl champs.
That's right.
And they're 3-0.
And they're 3-0.
Only three teams in the NFL are 3-0. The Packers are one of them. We're going to talk to Tom Silverstein on the other side of this break about your 3-0 Packers. So stick around.
I am here. I'm here.
Yay! Tom Silverstein!
From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Tom.
Oh, man.
Thank you so much for making the time to talk to us tonight.
It's a pleasure. You know that.
I don't, Tom. Trust me. No. No, I don't. So it's really nice of you to join us. Tom, let's dive right into your piece from the other day about the imperfect perfection that the Packers find themselves inhabiting at 3-0, but with a lot of work to do. Where do you start? What's the number one issue with this team, you think, that McCarthy has to tackle?
Well, you know, it's not, to me, it's not one of those things that's very tangible. You know, there's all kinds of things you can nitpick, or, you know, you can talk about all the yards that they've given up on defense or in the passing game. Or, you know, you can talk about they should have had, you know, more running yardage here, you know, thrown more there or something. But really, I think the whole thing this season is going to come down to how the Packers manage being a front runner. And that's the part I'm kind of curious to see as we, you know, move through the season here. And I think that's kind of McCarthy's task. Even though, you know, they're 3-0, they won two on the road, three NFC teams. I mean, they're in great shape. That's about as good a start as you could possibly have. Now, you know, do they keep getting better? Do they peak at the end of the year? So, to me, that's kind of the biggest thing that they've got to manage, you know, in the weeks to come, is to stay hungry and avoid, you know, letting the pressure get to them.
Were you surprised, or as surprised as I think a lot of the fan base was, at the play of Marshall Newhouse? I mean, the last time we really noticed the guy, he was getting, I mean, just toasted in that first preseason game against Cleveland. Then you didn't hear a whole lot about him. And then he stepped in on Sunday and just, you know, the offense kind of kept humming along.
Yeah. Yeah, I was fairly impressed, you know. I mean, think about it. Last year when in the NFC Championship, Clifton went down and T.J. Lang had to step in there and just got bulldozed by Julius Peppers, and it really changed the whole you know, context of the game. McCarthy had to change his play calling. He got a little bit nervous. In this game, it looks to me like they just saddled up and kept on doing what they were doing, even though Marinelli moved Peppers over to that left side and tried to take advantage of that move. Now, I will say this, though, and I wrote this for tomorrow, I'm curious to see, you know, what happens when a team has a whole week to study him and kind of pick out his weaknesses, because I think that's what the Denver Broncos will do. And, you know, they could flip Dumervil over there. Von Miller sometimes lines up with his hand down on that side. That's going to be a real test. So I'm kind of curious to see how that goes.
And speaking of surprises, were you surprised at the, I guess no other way to put it, but the explosion from Ryan Grant?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm kind of the guy who wrote him off in training camp. You know, I really thought he didn't look very good, and I still think he didn't. I mean, he was not impressive in camp. Now, you know, it's a little different when you're watching practice and you know, they're not really tackling and everything like that. And the coaches, of course, know a little bit more than I do about that kind of stuff. But I wasn't impressed. And what I saw on Sunday was a guy running more patient, and really using his blockers, you know, watching where they were headed and then using the, you know, the cutback at just the right time. One thing I think is interesting, and I'll be looking at, you know, possibly this week or, you know, down the road, is I think there's certain plays that Ryan Grant is really good at that work against the Bears. You know, he's had a number of really long runs against them, and there are always, you know, certain zone plays that seem to work against the Bears' defense. And I kind of think that's a little bit what happened on Sunday. You know, Starks, they run a little bit, they run each guy's best plays. And I kind of wonder if Starks' plays, you know, weren't the ones that really fit playing against the Bears. So, you know, it doesn't look like Grant's going to play this week. So it's kind of too bad that you can't really get a better handle on, you know, whether this was a one-game thing or if he's really back.
Speaking of one-game thing, one game, Packers facing the Denver Broncos. Do you think, I mean, I said today that Champ Bailey was practicing, and you mentioned Dumerville before. He's been injured. He may not play on Sunday. If Dumerville doesn't play, do the Broncos have a chance? I mean, do they have a shot? I mean, I know it's the NFL. Anybody can beat anybody. But the Packers have the biggest line out of any game this weekend. I mean, yeah. It should be like 35 to 10, right?
Depends on Tim Tebow, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, who knows with that storyline. But really, even if Dumerville does play, you know, and unless he just wrecks them the way that Cameron Wake did, you know, last year, no, I don't see them having a chance. You know, unless the Packers just come out and pee down their leg. I you know.
That's awesome.
They can't, you know, I don't see how that can happen. I just really don't. It to me, that would be an incredible upset. You know,
yeah.
I mean, just enormous.
What do you make of the fact that McCarthy? I mean, I know a lot of fans get upset with McCarthy. Like they get, you know, they pass for like, you know, from 20 to 20, they throw the football like three or four times, moving effortlessly, seemingly, and then he gets into the red zone and he hands it off a couple times. Gets him into third and long, and then, you know, occasionally Rodgers will hit Finley for a touchdown, but then sometimes they won't. They'll have to settle for the field goal.
Yeah.
Now, here's my question. What is it about – and I don't have any problem with any of that. Like, I know there are tendencies and schemes, and they have all this information, and McCarthy's playing to that and whatever. But what is it about McCarthy's team? Because this is something that's consistent week in and week out, and you can watch it all the way through their playoff run, save maybe for the Atlanta game where they just blew the Falcons out. But what is it about McCarthy where he just lets teams hang around? And I don't know if it's like, you know, a sense of like putting his foot on the throat of his opponent or whatever. He doesn't have the killer instinct. I don't think that's true, because you've seen him take shots in like weird or like unexpected places. But what is it about the Packers and McCarthy where they just tend to get to a spot where the offense can put the game away, and they never do? It's always on the defense to make it happen.
Well, let me address the red zone part first, because I think that'll answer some of your questions. And this is my take on it. Don't know if I'm right about this, but it's kind of how I see it. And that is, you know, when you get into the red zone, and you're a passing team and you're a spread team like the Packers are, it's really hard to score because everything is so compressed within, you know, the 20-yard period. And teams play a lot of zone. And you really have to be really good in that area. And where a lot of red zone teams are really good is they can run the ball. And when you get down there, you've got to be able to run the ball. And let's face it, that is not the Packers' strength, and it never has been, and it won't be as long as McCarthy is the coach. So I think what you see is a product of not being able to, or not really having a great running game. So like you said, you know, he hands the ball off, once. You know, think about it. Rodgers comes to the line of scrimmage. He's looking around. He's got, you know, two safeties back. He's got, you know, four corners playing off in zone. Well, God, he's got to hand the ball off.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's the perfect situation. Well, their running game isn't that good, and so they get stopped. And I think that's, you know, I think if you asked any coach in the NFL, they'd say a really good red zone team is a really good running team. So there, I think, answers a little bit of that question. As for hanging around, I know that has really happened, and I think you probably, it's fresh in your mind because it's happened against the Bears, and it always happens against the Bears.
Right.
And I'm not sure if that's as much a reflection on McCarthy or on the Bears, because that's kind of how they win games, you know,
right.
Hanging around, you know, with defense and special teams, and, you know, they don't really, they're hard to score on. They're not that hard to move the ball on, but they're hard to score on. I do, you know, see other instances where the Packers have not been good at just finishing teams off, and I don't know if that's killer instinct or what, but I think, you know, coming off that Bears game, I think, you know, a lot of it is the Bears.
Right, and I can definitely see that. And they, you know, I've said it ad nauseum, is that Lovie Smith's defense is just built from McCarthy's offense, because he plays that cover two, or is used to.
And
he came out in cover three this week.
And that NFC championship game was, like, very similar.
Well, yeah.
Even with
Cutler
out.
They jumped out early, and they came out behind late. But, like, you look at the Saints game, where he just needs one first down, and the offense game. And I don't think that's on McCarthy as much as it is on Rodgers, where they need one first down, and the game's over, and they can't get it. You know, he dumps it off to Kuhn. So, I don't know. It's just
and I don't get going spread offense on third and two.
Right.
I don't really get that. I mean, here you got five tight ends on the team, you know.
Right.
Line them all up, you know.
Right.
And if you want to go play action, fine. That was a play that, you know, Mark Chmura and Bubba Franks made a living on, you know, in short yardage. And it seems to be a play they never really rely on much. So I have issues with that, you know, that you come out in four wides on third and two. So, yeah, I don't know if that's sometimes maybe they just outthink themselves on stuff like that.
What's your take on the Packers working out Tony Mall yesterday? Is that just an emergency guy they're looking at in case another guy goes down, or is that something more? Maybe Bulaga's a little more hurt than they're letting on.
I think it is a little bit emergency, but, you know, McCarthy keeps making these mysterious references to the roster spot of Nick Collins.
Right.
And
so
this, I have not figured it out. I asked a GM I know in the league. I said, "What, you know, are there salary cap ramifications with this? Is there some rule that I'm not aware of that, you know, they're making use of, or is the reason they're not putting them on IR?" And he couldn't think of anything, and he really thought that the real reason was that, you know, they're still holding out hope that the specialist would declare him able to play. But, you know, why would they say he's out for the season twice? I mean, they said it twice and definitively. And the only thing I can think of is if they're setting themselves up, you know, legally to say, you know, hey, we, you know, our I don't know. I'm just pulling at straws here.
Yeah,
I know where I'm going with it. I don't understand it. And he made some kind of reference today about it being for, you know, they're holding it for a roster spot. I think maybe it's that they want to keep 53 men, or they have to keep 53 men. I haven't even really looked at the CBA to see if that's a rule. But, you know, it's possible they just don't want to pay anybody.
I mean, if you look at camp, you know, they were allowed 90 guys, and I don't think they ever hit 90. I mean, I think they were hovered around like 86 the entire summer.
Yeah, and, you know, the way that kind of stuff goes is, you know, you pick up a guy, a 53rd guy, and he gets hurt, and you end up paying him for the whole year. And,
Ted.
Yeah, I mean, I think they probably, you know, kind of think that way.
Well, and he did the same thing with Barnett a couple years ago. Remember that? Like, you know, Barnett got hurt in Minnesota, and then he was still in the 53 for like 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden they put him on IR.
Yeah, there's something strange there. Maybe it is just a salary cap move, you know, just so they just keep paying Collins. He takes up the 53rd spot, and if they ever need that spot, then they'll put him on IR.
It makes sense, I guess. Speaking of Collins, none of it makes sense, of course. Right. Yeah. You got that right. Speaking of Collins, look at the safety position. Morgan Burnett, look at this kid. That interception, the first interception, the one that wasn't thrown right to him, but the one, the athletic play from the middle of the field, cover all that ground, that kind of opened your eyes a little bit. I mean, I know he's got the reputation. He was a ball hawk in college. You know, he looked like a somebody who was going to be active in the secondary early last year before he got hurt. But that play really jumped out at me as far as, obviously he's not going to replace Nick Collins in his production and his playmaking ability.
No.
But that's a real free safety move, is it not?
Yeah, he was coming from the middle of the field. And, you know, that's what you want from a middle safety, is a guy who can run sideline to sideline. And, you know, that was Collins' strength. I mean, you know, you think back to the Super Bowl. I mean, he was back playing safety, and the thing goes up in the air, and he gets it. I went back and looked at that play a couple of times, and, you know, the throw wasn't very good. The throw was too far, was not far enough to the sideline. You know, he's got to put that over Roy Williams' shoulder. But nevertheless, you know, he still might have gotten it if it had been thrown where it should have been thrown. And it was a very athletic move. That's the kind of move, that's the kind of thing I kind of expected out of him. What I didn't expect was the stuff near the line of scrimmage, where he seems to be throwing himself around a little bit. You know, he had a real reputation for being kind of soft. And I don't know if, you know, they've looked on him with him on that, or he just has taken that upon himself, or he got stronger in the offseason. But he's playing physical, and I think that's the thing that's kind of given him more confidence, I think.
What's your take on Clay Matthews? I know I've gotten a lot of grief this week for saying that he ain't winning his one-on-one matchups.
Here we go.
Fans like to say he's being, quote, double-teamed all the time.
And he is double-teamed a lot.
He's chipped.
Come
he's double-teamed a bit.
Come
yes,
on.
Like I think Bob McGinn said like 40% of his plays. Fine. All I know is what the last 2 weeks I've seen him lined up against an undrafted tackle. And Frank,
yikes.
I'm a revolving door Omiyale.
Yikes.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been able to beat him. Now, he's played well, and for the record, I haven't said he hasn't played well. All I've said is that he's not beating guys one-on-one.
That's true.
And so I know Bob said he's had his finest game ever. I've had that thrown in my face all week. I know Mike today said that Clay Matthews has graded out very well, and that was thrown in my face all afternoon.
Of course.
Tom, what's your take?
Well, you know, I got to say, I haven't had time to study, you know, how much one-on-one, and in fact I'm going to do a little bit of that tonight, just kind of go back and look at the games. I will say one thing about the Carolina game that I kind of noticed, and I think they were kind of, you know, three quarters rushing Newton because they were so scared of him running, and I'm not sure that you know, didn't have an effect on Matthews. Everybody, really, you know, I mean, they didn't get to him that much, and it really looked to me like they were playing contain on him. Now, you know, I agree with you, Omiyale. You know, the only thing is that, I mean, he beat him so bad on the run, you know, and Chris Williams on that pulling play.
Right.
It was very, very impressive. I don't know about the pass rushing thing. I do know that he's played with this thigh injury, apparently for 2 weeks. He must have hurt it in the Carolina game. And I don't know, you know, last year, nobody really, you know, took into consideration this shin injury he had, you know, all year. And his numbers went down when he was hurt. I kind of wonder, and it's just, I don't know it for sure, but he seems to be like one of those guys who, you know, really needs to be healthy, a thoroughbred kind of guy.
Right.
And when something's wrong with him, something's just not right. And I wonder about that, if there was something coming into the season, or if it's this thigh injury. I'm assuming he hurt it against Carolina. I never really asked him about it. I think that could be a factor. And then, you know, the other thing is people study, you know, they learn his moves, you know, and they're better prepared for it. Maybe he's, you know, maybe the league is catching up a little bit with him. But I would say don't judge him in three games, you know.
No.
You got to give it a little longer. Sacks always come in bunches.
In bunches, yeah. Make your excuses now, Silverstein. I hear you.
Yeah.
All right.
You're on an island there.
Yeah, you got
you
that
know?
Right.
I know, Tom.
Oh, I know. It's fine. I've been on islands before. It's fine. It's where I live.
It's true.
All right. Before we let you go, you've been an absolute legend for coming and joining us this evening.
He's a legend even if he doesn't come on the show.
Even if he doesn't join us. It's true. It's
so.
So, Tom, I got to throw this at you. You picked the Chargers to win the Super Bowl?
Oh.
It flies against everything I believe. And one of the things I believe is that North Turner will never win a Super
Bowl.
That's
my point.
Ever.
That is my whole point.
Ever. And I have gone that way. You know, I've been burned by those guys so many times. I'm like, I'll never take them. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, all right, you know, I never get this thing right. You know, I always just blow it. And, you know, New England is such an obvious pick. And
it's
I don't
the obvious
like
pick
it,
because
maybe.
It's the right pick to face the Packers and lose, obviously.
Yes.
I don't know. I think I had... you know, a head injury or something that day. I'm not really sure what, you know, I shouldn't be held responsible for it. I think I had a concussion.
Obviously. You clearly had a concussion. You should not have been allowed near the field slash typewriter that day.
Exactly.
I mean, the Journal Sentinel is obviously going to be fined, and they're going to lose a draft pick for allowing you to type that. All right, Tom Silverstein from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Oh,
Tom,
spoon.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Hey, you know, it's my pleasure. I'm always happy to join you guys. It's a good time.
Excellent. Tom Silverstein,
Tom
thanks
Silverstein.
So much. Have a great night.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay. Take care, folks.
There he goes. Spoon.
Dropping the knowledge bombs.
Telling me I'm on an island because I am.
You're on an island.
Hey, it's where I live.
But
it's all right.
If anybody has ever... I mean, that's obvious to me.
Oh,
Aaron Nagler, Island.
Lives on an island. That's what I do. Tom Silverstein. He's great. You know what? Jeff Blum, I think, kind of condescendingly earlier this
bringing
evening.
Bringing up the Blum.
The ex. Let me say that again. The ex head of public relations for the Green Bay Packers. Kind of like, you know, needled us a little bit that Tom was a quote-unquote huge get for us. Jeff? Yes? Yes, yeah. He is.
Yes. And with that, I got to give me some Dick Chang Gong.
Dick Chang in the house. What's up, Dick Chang?
I got it down so I don't break it.
No more breaking the Dick Chang Gong.
Oh, no.
It's Dick Chang's just in time for us to take a break. And when we come back on the other side, we got to talk some special teams with Brian Caravu.
It is time.
Everyone. Who's that? Everyone looks to Corey Banky for special teams. He's gone. It is time. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back live online with Mr.
Brian Caravu. Yeah, baby.
What's up, Brian? Hello. Come
on. Turn him down.
I'm turning him down a little bit. You turn him down a little bit. How are you tonight, Brian?
Fantastic. Brewers are winning, so I'm in a good mood.
Did you just talk baseball on Packer Transplants?
Come on, Brian.
Come on now. Come on. I got much fever as the next guy.
Brian.
Come on now. now.
Stop it.
Hold on, hold on. We're going to kill my
tweet deck. Whoa, you just tweet decked Brian.
I know, but I'm trying to kill it so we don't get little tweets in the corner there while he's talking. So, Brian, let's talk about – let's just get down to brass tacks.
Come on, Brian.
How crazy. How nuts. How much fun was that Bears trick play at the end of the game?
Oh, man. They were fooled. They were duped. They were deked. They were bamboozled. I've run out of adjectives. It was something. You know, as people have said, it's probably the most talked about play that never counted in history, maybe. But it was something. I mean, had it worked, wow. It would probably have been talked about just as much.
What I found interesting is that they ran it earlier in the game. McCarthy said that they saw it, or somebody said that one of the coaches said that they saw it on tape that they had run it earlier, that just the kick went out of bounds or something.
Yeah, it's, you know, they the Knox there, he kind of took off from jamming Jarrett Bush and went to the corner, and, you know, everybody moved toward Devin Hester and all his blockers, and were just fooled. You know, it's the Packers were fooled, and they can only learn from it now. And not only the Packers, you know, every team in the NFL has now seen this and are not going to fall for it anymore.
Well, it's just the greatest idea. You have like 9 out of your 11 guys run to one side of the field. Of course, the coverage team is going to run over there. I just thought it was great. I got to applaud the Bears special teams there. I mean, they've always been superb, but that is just an amazing, amazing idea. I'm not going to talk freaking baseball, but I will talk a little college football here because I know you are very geeked up for Saturday night. The Corn Huskers, is that what they're called? Is that right? are coming, are invading Madison and Camp Randall. Big game there in Madison, Badger football. Are you attending the game? I know you'll be watching, obviously, but what are your plans for Saturday night?
Yes, I will be there in person, so very excited. For the longest time, it was very tough not to sell the tickets just because, I mean, this is literally, not exaggerating, pretty much the biggest game in all of college football this year. Maybe when LSU plays Alabama in a couple weeks, that might be bigger. But with Nebraska coming for their first Big Ten game, this is big. And there is going to be thousands upon thousands of Husker fans coming to Wisconsin.
And I could care less. But I'm glad you're going to have a great time.
My GF is a Husker. No, seriously.
I know she is. I know she is.
She didn't go to Lincoln, Nebraska. She went to Omaha, Nebraska. But she's a Husker.
Oh, did we lose you?
I lost you.
Oh, no. Oh, well, then.
You're back.
Wait, is he back? We don't know. we just lost him.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Brian.
Brian.
Oh, I can hear you.
Okay, he can hear us. We'll have him on audio, not video. Because everything's messed up.
Okay.
So, Brian. Do the Packers, you know, even have a remote chance of a letdown, even remotely kind of, against the Broncos? Or do the Packers win by, like, 50?
I can't see it happening. I thought personally, you know, that the Packers would lose to the Bears, or, you know, had a chance to lose to the Bears. But now that they were showed they were able to, you know, beat a halfway decent opponent on the road, I can't see them losing at home. And tell you the truth, I can't see the Packers losing. I can't see myself picking them to lose until they actually lose at some point. It's just, I don't know when that'll be. It's, you know, they're not going to go 16-0, but, you know,
hey, wash your mouth out with soap right now, young man.
When they lose, it's going to surprise everybody.
Wait. Hold on.
Slow up.
We're listening to the person who picked the Steelers to win the Super Bowl.
Corey's still a little bitter. They're not going 16-0? Come on, Brian. Come on, lay down the funk here. That's some cold-hearted stuff right now. Three teams left. They're 3-0. Here's a question for you. Do the Packers win in Detroit on Thanksgiving?
Yes!
I know that's the answer. I'm asking what Brian's answer is.
I mean, so much has to play out until then.
No, don't give me the so much has to play out nonsense.
That's like Tom
Silverstein. Come on, Caribou.
That's like Tom Silverstein.
Do the Packers win
Tom Silverstein
on Thanksgiving? Can I enjoy my holiday
Come
with my
on.
Family?
Tom Silverstein, I haven't looked at the tape.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, Tom.
Come on, Brian. Can I enjoy the turkey with the girls, or am I going to be crying into my cranberry sauce? I want to know.
I mean, the way they're playing right now, I mean, I would pick the Packers to win on the road, albeit, you know, we are how many months away from the game? 2 months here, but,
Stop
you know,
your qualifiers. Stop your qualifiers, right?
Oh, man. Caribou. Gotta love them.
How can you not? All right, Brian. Predictions for Sunday. Broncos invading Lambeau Field. The only question is, do the Packers win by 50? Or do they win by 75?
Obviously, the Packers win. I haven't yet thought about... you know, what the score might be, but in terms of a little plug, I'll make my Against the Spread column tomorrow at Cheesehead TV.
Yeah, you will.
And people can see my score prediction there. And I think the spread is something like right around 2 touchdowns,
it's
which
13,
is...
I think it's 13 points. It's 13 last I checked.
So that's, you know, that's a lot in the NFL.
Well, it's
it
the highest this week.
Bigger than 14 points. So,
nobody's
I mean,
favored by
game.
More than 10.
Yeah.
All right. We'll stick you to that. And hey, congratulations. For those of you who don't know, Brian has been doing what's called the Packers Minute here at Cheesehead TV, a series of 1 minute podcasts.
Dude.
He does them, what is it? You do a Monday, Wednesday, Friday? Is that right?
Yep.
And they are now featured all across our fine state of Wisconsin.
Oh, my goodness.
Various. But it was just picked up by ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison. Very exciting stuff.
Dude, if I would have had Packers Minute, like, in the last 10 years, I probably wouldn't have started Cheesehead TV.
So, we're glad that that didn't happen until it happened. And we're glad it's happening now, so someone won't start our competitor.
There
That's
you
good.
Go.
Brian, congratulations. It's fantastic work.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Brian Caribou. Have a great night. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Brian Caribou. It's what he does. He's awesome. He's the man. He's the myth. He's the legend. Let's talk a little more Packers football. Why not? We got 15 more minutes. We got 15 more minutes in this show. That's what I'm talking about to you all right now. So give us a call if you want.
Oh, no.
The line is open.
Don't do it.
I'm doing it.
What is happening?
The line is open.
He's changing the camera.
The floor is yours. No, whatever you want to talk about, anything
man.
On earth. Of course, there are like four people watching, so if three of you don't want to call, I totally understand.
What are you doing right now?
One of you wants to call. Mm. I know one of you is sitting there dying to call to tell me that I'm an idiot. So give me a call. Give us a call. Call Corey 646-797-2909. Give us a call. Let us know how... The Packers are going to win this Super Bowl in Indy. They're going to keep winning Super Bowls for the rest of our natural-born lives. Or don't. Corey, no one's calling. Corey, no one watches this show anymore. We're just sad, pathetic hulls of what we used to be. Let's call Wildy. I think we should prank Wildy.
Let's do it.
I think that's the thing to do. You down with that? Are you totally down with that? Because I think that's what we need to do. I'm going to do it right now. Is it in our saved items here on Skype?
Yeah.
He should be, right? Yeah, he totally should. Let me call Jason Wildy right now. I'm just going to call Wildy and say hello. Or maybe not because I can't find his stuff. I can't believe no one's calling.
No
We've gone from, like, we can't stop people from calling to nobody. This serves us right for taking a week off.
There you go.
Okay, speaking of which, yes, we took a week off, and we're very sorry.
We're sorry.
But Corey's new job and my
I had to change the camera.
Will sometimes dictate us having to. But more excitingly, Corey Behnke is moving, ladies and gentlemen, which means we're going to have to move along with it.
Yes. Packer transplants in 3 weeks is like a transplants you've never seen before.
What's great is I thought you were about to say transplants in 3D.
In 3D!
In 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, Corey Behnke's moving to Chelsea.
It's like Avatar.
He's moving to Chelsea.
Phone's ringing, dude.
And we're going to be filming, where are we going to be filming? At the live stream studios.
Maybe.
Maybe. Either that or we'll be filming on the streets.
Pending approval.
Pending approval from Corey's new bosses. But yeah, so it's going to be crazy. Big changes here at TZTV, Packer Transplants. Phone's ringing, dude. Someone's calling us, but they're not calling us at TZTV. They're calling us at Corey's house. Dear person calling, don't call Corey's house. We'll call you. What I love is that there's no answering machine at Corey's house. The phone just rings forever. It just rings and rings and rings. Having been on the other end of that phone, I know what it's like. So,
all right.
Let's talk a little bit more Packers, and then we'll get out of here.
Let's do it.
What about this defense? What about problems? What about the issues on the Packers' D? They did a little nominally better against the Bears pass defense wise than they did against the Panthers. So with Sam Shields, I wrote 2 weeks ago about Sam Shields not really progressing, not really taking lessons from 2010 and improving upon them in 2011. Now, yes. The man didn't have an off season. The man, you know, had some problems. But here's a little issue that I want to talk about. Look at Sam Shields here. Look at him, quote, attempt to tackle. Now, I understand it's a screenplay to a running back. And I understand running backs are kind of big. But that is a pathetic attempt. And we've seen it way too much this year. Way too much Sam Shields grabbing guys, trying to wrap them up with his arms up top and just kind of like, I don't know, sliding off of them. It's really rather pathetic, actually. You saw it a couple times in the Saints game, a couple times in the Panthers game, and then, interestingly enough, we saw it, you know, a couple times early in the Bears game, and then he got into it with Devin Hester, his buddy from the U.
Mm-hmm.
Hester hit him. I mean, he freaking hit him in the head.
Yeah, he did.
Big hit, big punch. And after that play, after Hester hit him and got flagged, Sam Shields woke up. Sam Shields, like, just was a totally different player after that play. You saw him, like, he had a great recovery on a slant play where he was beat initially, and then he cat in to break up the pass. And you saw him make a tackle. I think it was a forte in the flat when he was playing zone, and he came down and made a great wrap-up tackle. So all of a sudden, guy got hit in the face. It was like Brett Favre's time. Like, you know, like totally asleep at the beginning of the game. And then he all of a sudden gets hit.
Yeah.
Gets knocked up out and wakes up and starts playing football.
Yeah.
Maybe Sam Shields needs to get beat on early in the game, like physically, to wake up and actually try and tackle somebody.
I think this whole defense hasn't really awakened.
Oh, I would agree with that. I would definitely agree with
like,
that.
Like, I think this defense has been really good at a lot of things. Look at the Bears' rushing yards in that game.
Yeah, that was a little
okay?
Ridiculous.
Let's be realistic here for a second. Okay? Wait. Let's look at the dope sheet.
The dope sheet!
On the Bears'
into his house.
Rushing yards. Okay?
Uh-oh. Corey Behnke. I hate to tell you, but we've got a phone call.
Let's do it.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Oh, no. I'm scared.
Here we go. Packer Transplants Live. I think you're on the air. Who's this?
This is David.
David, how are you tonight?
Doing pretty good. I just want to say you're not alone on that island.
Hey, now! These are the calls we like.
There you go.
All right, David, what's your take on Clay Matthews?
You know what? He's doing a great job. He's doing a great job in the run. I agree completely. But I want to see more hits on the QB. I mean, it's that simple.
Now, do you think a lot of people have speculated about, like, causes and maybe the lockout has something to do with it, or what do you think, you know, he's just not getting home? He's just not beating guys? He's like, do you buy Tom's assertion that the league has kind of caught up with him, or do you think it's something else?
I really think it's more, I noticed when we haven't really been down a lot as far as when we're on the field. I think Capers has been more nickel friendly, and I noticed in the Bears game they rushed three a lot more often, so that tended to be a lot more double teams. But I still think when he's one-on-one, he hasn't been able to get the coverage sacks.
Right. When the quarterback holds the ball and is back there for a while. Yeah, I totally agree with that assertion. Stuff you saw last year, you're not seeing this year. David, thanks for the call. I don't know. I know people like to say, like, Aaron, you're just hating on Matthews, and that's not the truth. It's just not the truth. I think he's playing well. I think he's playing good football. And I've never said anything contrary to that. I know people want to play gotcha and want to play whatever. But, you know, when I watch a whole game of a guy going against Frank freaking Amiyale, and he doesn't beat him clean off the line, I'm sorry. I got questions. I'm an idiot. I know. We all know this. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that.
I don't think you're an idiot.
Yeah, you do.
No,
you
I
just
don't.
You can't say it publicly.
I've never... No, seriously.
Oh, my gosh, we got another call.
In 5 years, I've never thought that about you, okay?
No. That's a start. Packer Transplants Live, you are on the air. Who's
wonderful.
This?
Max Ginsburg. How you guys doing?
Max, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Not much. I'm great. You know, a little tired, catching up on the sleep schedule, but, you know, other than that, I'm good.
Father of a newborn. Doing? How are you, man? I'm doing well. What's up? What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I want to talk about the that special teams debacle or play against the Bears.
All right.
The play that didn't happen. You know, I want to say the special teams coach, I think Peter King tweeted something out tonight about how much of a thinker he is, how great he is, or, you know, how brilliant of a play sort of that was. But how is it a brilliant play if you are you need 10 points and you're doing this and there's no time left at all and you're, you know, this muscle is going to get you 7 points? Like, wouldn't you think you're going to bust this one play out that you have that can maybe get you a touchdown when you're down by 7 or you really need a touchdown?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of this. I'm like, I can understand both sides. That doesn't take away from the brilliance of the play itself. You know what I mean? Like, it's still a genius design. It's still amazingly, I mean, other than the hold, it's still brilliantly executed. But I totally understand, why would you bust it out now? Maybe that's how badly Lovie Smith wants to beat the Packers.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a brilliant play. I completely agree. Just the timing. You know, I can have all the most brilliant plays, but if I don't call them in the right sequence, they're not going to be that much good.
Right. No, I can understand that. I totally understand that. I just think, you know, that's how desperate they are. And the fact that they ran it earlier in the game has got to let you know that it's already been put on tape.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you know, I think it just comes down to the Bears and, you know, not being that good.
I think we call that they suck. In
right.
Dare, most parlance.
Dare I say, the Bears still suck.
Yes,
that is
do.
The correct answer. Max, thank you so much for calling
you
in, buddy.
You know they do.
All right, thanks, guys.
That's Mass Ginsburg. You can catch his stuff here at Cheesehead TV on occasion, and we got another call.
Wow.
Packer Transplants Live, you are on the air. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Nope.
Nope. No love. All right. See ya.
That. Why, who are you calling?
I'm trying to hang up.
Are you calling Wildy again?
No, but I really should.
Do it.
That would be hilarious.
You just don't know his number, right?
I don't know. I kind of know his number.
Your wife keeps tweeting. Let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about something we haven't talked about on the show.
Oh, no.
Your wife tweeting.
My wife is tweeting, ladies and gentlemen.
What?
At Carolyn Nagler.
Whoa.
Give her a follow.
Dang it.
She is the bizom.
I follow her.
You should. She's hilarious.
I do.
She is hilarious, and she is the love of my life. And everyone should follow her on Twitter, at Carolyn Nagler. You cannot beat it with a bat. She is fan-flippantastic.
I put another call into the show on the channel.
My favorite bit of watching any Packers game with my wife is when the opposing team has the ball, and this held true this weekend, every single time, and this is, I am not exaggerating, every single pass play that an opponent has ever run against the Green Bay Packers. If my wife is in the room watching the television, you will hear, kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him, until the ball is out of his hands. Like every single play, she wants the opposing quarterback to die. And that is why I love her.
There you go.
It's brilliant.
That's nice.
It is absolutely brilliant. All right. We have come to the end.
Moving on.
Of yet another Packer transplant.
3-0, baby.
3-0.
3-0.
Meeting the Denver Broncos at Lambeau Field
on
Sunday.
Stop for a second.
Uh-oh.
Just stop.
I'm stopping.
Okay? Packer fans, and I mean this sincerely, we got a good thing going. Let's keep the positivity up. Let's think game to game instead of quarter to quarter. Okay? That's all I have to say.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Because if you'll recall, if you looked at Twitter in the first quarter of the Panthers game, who dog it? There were some people who were like ready to write this team off. So I totally agree with that sentiment. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Thank you so much for showing up. And big, huge, humongous thank you.
Humongous.
To Tom Silverstein.
Yes.
Of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for joining us this evening. We'd like to thank every one of you for showing up. Obviously, big thanks to Brian Caravu for making the live blog go, along with Jamie Jors, John Rahor, Max Ginsburg, who called in tonight, C.D. Angeli, our fantastic new feature writer
and
at Cheesehead TV.
Brad Stanley.
Brad Stanley, newest member of the Cheesehead TV family.
Brad Stanley, business development.
Business development.
Welcome to the team.
Thank you, Brad. You are the man.
Yes.
And thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for showing up tonight and every night, any night. You are the man, the myth, the legend, every one of you. We can't do what we do without you. You help make this a unique experience found nowhere else on the internet. Packer fans worldwide, we thank you. Join us next week right here at cheeseheadtv.com for the latest edition of Packer Transplants.